You're listening to another episode of Gossip That's Good For You. I'm Molly.
And I'm Denise.
Today we're talking about stories from the last week in pop culture that are too good to not share. Lisa Barlow, cue the music for our I Love It segment.
I love it. I love this. I love this. I love this. I love it.
Are you ready for this, Molly? Is this a blast from the past? Is my I love it this week?
Oh, okay.
So, some girl on Twitter posted a link to this deep dive Medium article that was just written a couple days ago. But this girl, who I don't know who she is, her name on Medium was I've Been Drinking. So, thank you, I've Been Drinking.
Okay.
She wrote the most intense deep dive about Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber, and Selena Gomez and the timeline of their triangle love affair from 2014 to the present day. And when I tell you, these are three people I never thought I would ever care about. I could never have cared less. Find them all boring. Whatever. Run, do not walk to read this article. It'll be in the show notes. It is so long. This woman did her research. Like, I haven't read a Washington Post article this much investigation, this much detail. And it basically, like, just lays out how awful mostly Justin Bieber is, really. The Kardashians make appearances, also evil.
What?
For whatever reason, I could talk about it for a whole hour, but I won't. But, like, there was, like, Courtney was dating Bieber for a little bit. Then Kendall was trying to shove Bieber with Hailey because she hated Selena so much. And it was, like, drama, drama, drama. And they were, like, this girl's posting all these screenshots of since now deleted Instagrams and tweets where they're all, like, pettily, like, writing about each other. And then there's also a lot of video footage, which was shocking, of how abusive Justin Bieber is to Hailey Bieber. Like, abusive. Like, she will touch him. Like, she's, like, touching his back, rubbing his back. And in one video, he just snaps at her. And he's like, don't touch me, okay? Just don't touch me. And he, like, cuts her off when she's talking. I mean, it's really shocking. And the creme de la creme of this piece, and I mean, there's so much that was great, was this GQ interview from 2016, which I ignored because did not care. But it is so good, and I'm just going to pull out some highlights for you.
Okay.
So this GQ reporter is embedded with Bieber, following him around for 2 days while Bieber's living in this, like, hotel. And they're walking around, and Justin Bieber is, like, walking up, and he asks the security guard, oh, hey, is Hailey in there? Or is she in there? And he was referring to Hailey, and his security guard's like, yeah, she's in there. So they walk in. Quote, when we enter, Hailey is wearing a black crop top, tight black pants, sitting on a pristinely made bed. She is doing nothing. No TV, no book, no phone, no computer, no music, no oil paints. Nothing.
No oil paint.
What a psychopath. Who? What? What? Just, I can picture her just sitting there. Nothing? Just sitting?
Huh.
Okay. Then, this is the perfect part. Justin Bieber is not easy to talk to. A linguist would say he violates back-channel norms. That is, he withholds those subtle signs, short verbal cues like, mm-hmm, right, and yeah. Quick head nods that indicate an engaged listener and that encourage the speaker to continue. It's unsettling to share a personal story or ask a long-winded question and be met with Justin Bieber's silent, cool-eyed stare. Ooh. The entire time you're talking. Justin Bieber makes eye contact like a person who has been told that eye contact is very, very important.
Oh, I got chills. I got chills.
He can be difficult to talk to in other ways, too. He generally does not respond to irony. He speaks more quietly than a mouse that's asleep, so you frequently have to ask him to repeat things. His responses to most questions are short, often monosyllabic. I probably said that wrong. Until you hit upon a topic he is comfortable discussing, such as his fans. who delight him, or God's opinion of man, in which case he will talk without ceasing for nearly 1,000 words.
Oh, boy.
Justin, you are a creep. You're a little creep. I didn't know how creepy you were. Also, I mean, to hell with him. Selena Gomez, poor girl. Like they also go through how much she's been in and out of rehab. There's a video of him and Selena buying drugs together in like a sketchy ass part of LA. Shocking that that is a video that is available and that I've never. Whoever their PR people are really buried a lot in this Medium article. I don't know how this bitch.
So she got paid to do this article, right?
I do not think so. No. I don't think I've been drinking. Has been paid. And it's on Medium. So no, she's really cared a lot. And wow. Thank God she did. It was really a ride. I mean, it took me like an hour. It was to go through, but it was an hour well worth it. So
I got to look at it. This is so creepy. So Justin Bieber is married to Hailey Baldwin, who's now Hailey Bieber. And
who's apparently like a diehard fan of his, like, and like there's videos of her like at like 13, like screaming at his concerts and being like, I love Justin Bieber, he's my favorite. And then like they got married so quickly, but right before they got married, he was like fuckboying around with all these other women and he wanted to marry Selena, but she was like, no. But that's when like Justin was getting very religious. And so he was like, I'm going to be celibate. So the theory was like, oh, so then he had Hailey and she was like dumb enough. Like, and so she loved him. Like, I think Hailey does love him. Yeah. And she was like, I'll marry you. And he was like, okay, perfect. Because I no longer can have sex outside of marriage because Jesus now.
Yeah, and I think she's pretty religious. And I follow her on social media. She's become like a real fashion icon for some reason. And the only posts I've noticed generally are about God, are about how they work really hard in their marriage, how they're going to be really committed to each other no matter what, through thick and thin. They really try to both drive that home in interviews. And so this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
To hear all of this.
You got to watch the videos of them too, where he's just so mean to her. It's like,
how sad. That it is sad. So sad.
It's sad because like she looks upset and like there's like videos of him like slamming car doors in her face. Wow. It's just like rough and you know, but a great read, a great read.
Okay. I'm absolutely going to be reading this. I'm excited. Awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if you've watched the show on Hulu called Pen 15. Have you heard of it?
You've told me about it. And like, I have not, to be honest, even though I know I should.
This is right up your alley. You're going to be like, I can't believe I never watched this show. It's two girls who are actually our age. They're in their 30s in like real life. Maya and Anna, they're best friends in real life and on the show. And they play the middle school versions of themselves. You have to like kind of use your imagination. But the way these two girls act, their acting chops, besides their writing, is so amazing. It takes place in, I want to say, like around 99, 2000. And I graduated middle school in 99. I think you did too. So I think they're like a year or two behind us as far as the stuff that they, you know, get obsessed with. But Denise, the throwback to middle school, when I watch this show, I literally feel like I am back in middle school.
That sounds horrible though. I do not want to go back to middle school.
It is, but it's you can't believe like the way you really acted in middle school. It is so funny. It is this show, the acting is so funny. These two grown women humiliating themselves, like how they think they're so cool. They're actually like not really popular, but they're best friends and they're just obsessed with boys and like being popular and being cool, but they also like kind of don't care. And the way they dance, what is like all like the silly words that go around, like the but it means like you're a fucking ugly girl or something.
Traumatic. I'm sure I know.
I never heard of it I don't know. They probably made it up, or maybe they did experience it in middle school. But me and Tommy are belly laughing the whole time. You have got to watch it. So it's coming out tomorrow on Hulu.
Are they going to be in freshman year now, or are they still in junior high?
No, so they're still in junior high, and the show is actually, I thought it was going to be like season three, but it's actually like part two of season two. I guess they were in the middle of shooting it during COVID and it took a break. So then I just been reading that they're like not continuing the show after this airs, which devastates me. I'm hoping Hulu will like pay them like a bajillion dollars to continue, because these girls are geniuses. The way they just pull out those insecurities we had as kids, those behaviors we had, I am so impressed by them. Highly recommend.
I'm going to watch it. I think I watched like one scene where she's making out with the mirror, and I was like, oh God, I think I did do that. I was like, oh yeah, that was rough. And I was like, turn this off. It's too real. But no, I will watch it.
It's very real. And I thought it would make me uncomfortable as well, but it doesn't. I mean, middle school was really hard for me, but I also enjoyed so many things about middle school. Yeah. So I don't know. It brought me back in a good way. And damn, I'm trying to find that goddamn word. It is like,
poser. I remember poser was a big
no,
word.
No, it's like,
what did I call ugly girls? Because I was a bully. I could think of
it. It's an acronym for like UGIS.
You never heard of it.
UGIS means ugliest girl in school.
Oh, that's so mean. That is so mean.
So they find out that they're called UGIS.
Speaking of middle school, can I just real quick tell you, my sister told me this story last night. In my niece's school, the boys, like the teenage boys, revolted, saying that against the girls' school dress code, because the girls weren't allowed to wear like tank tops. And they were like, why? Because they're like, it's not for us. We're not the creeps. It's the men that work in this school are so creepy that they are uncomfortable with the women that the young, with our students wearing tank tops. Like, absolutely not. Like, do not cater to the old creepy men in the school, and they did, they reversed that dress code. I'm like,
what?
Isn't it wild? And also like, good job, Gen Z boys. And that is true. I never thought about like, why were they making us telling us we couldn't wear spaghetti straps? And they said it was like to distract the other boys. No, it was to not distract the old men.
Yeah, because honestly, what are the other boys gonna really do? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like you could be fully clothed and boys are still going to think what they want to think. It's the older men.
They're like predatory. Yeah, creepy. And I was like, it's good for them to be aware of that and create, like, for them to be like, no, actually, great. So good job. Good job, kids.
I'm impressed. I am impressed with that.
Right. Okay. So do my second. I love it.
Yeah.
You don't watch Below Deck, do you?
No.
Well, you're not one of the majority, Molly, because Below Deck is the number one show on Bravo. And I just feel like that fact gets lost a lot. It is the highest rated show on Bravo. When any cast member from Below Deck shows up on Watch What Happens Live, Watch What Happens Live gets a ratings boost. It is wild. It is wild. And like, the thing about Below Deck, it's a show about people who work on a yacht. They're called yachties. And it mostly focuses on the employees, like the captain is a main character, and they have the chief stew and the little workers. And then they have like new guests coming on and chartering the boat every episode. But there was one staple, Kate Chastain, who was like the first chief stew in Below Deck. And she's like the most famous, most popular of any cast member on Below Deck. And really, like, she's pretty powerful too. I mean, at Bravo, because once she left the show by her own choice, they gave her, she produced that Bravo's chat room originally. And then she left because she couldn't stand the three other women on it, even though she was still a producer on it. She was like, you guys are annoying. Goodbye. And she's just super fucking funny. And she put out this tweet that She posted yesterday to Kenya and Ramona on Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. You're a peasant trying to be a queen. You should be cleaning the boat right now. Meanwhile, on their same network, Below Deck surpasses Housewives and becomes Bravo's top-rated show.
Shut up!
I'm like, Kate, first of all, coming for Kenya and Ramona. Bold. But factual. Factual. Like, there, it is funny. Like, they, Below Deck had over 1 million viewers when the last seasons of New York and Atlanta couldn't reach, ever reach a million.
Yeah.
Like, significant. And I saw something like, you know, the thing is because the cast of Below Deck is, they get recast almost every season.
Right.
No one person can ever become bigger than the show. So they're not paid anywhere. Like Kathy Hilton over here asking for $2 million to be on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. These right. kids make the most ratings, make Bravo the most money. They have so many spinoffs of Below Deck now. They have a Below Deck Galley Talk where you just watch some of the cast members watching Below Deck episodes and they cool. come commentary on it. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the most people, a lot of people I've met that watch Below Deck watch nothing else on Bravo. They're like, oh, I just watched this show.
I agree with that. I've met people like that. Yes.
And it has like a wider appeal. And if you're listening and you've never watched it, I would say go to Below Deck Sailing Yacht Season 2. It might be one of the greatest top five seasons in reality TV history. It was incredible.
Wow.
So many great accents. These people are all so fun. And yeah, Kate cool. Chastain, I love you this week.
I have it on sometimes, but I gotta pick and choose.
Yeah, you gotta pick and choose.
And what I do choose is Real Housewives of Orange County.
Shocking. Well, not shocking because I watched it last night too, but shocking that how good it is because of how bad it's been.
And I hope they do the same thing for New York. Mm. I hope they like revamp New York in the same way. The Housewives of Orange County aired last night. I believe season 16, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Like, what? Last season was a disaster. It was filmed in the height of COVID, which all the shows that we watched that were filmed during COVID definitely have an air of depression to them. But OC last season, the group of women didn't mix. There was like a one-off wimp girl. I can't remember her name anymore. She's not back. Bronwyn got let go. Kelly Dodd is not back. The drama was phony. The women just didn't mesh well. It was boring. Everybody just was like, I hate. It was honestly the worst season in, I think, ever. Certainly for this franchise.
And they were poor. Like, not poor, but they were like, these women didn't have, there was like no...
Right. Money. There was no money and we want to see the money.
It was like sad how much no money there was. It was like Gina's living in like some ratchet ass townhouse, you know, that's like falling apart. I'm like,
yeah. Ma'am? Yeah, we need money back. So Heather Dubrow has returned after being gone for five seasons. Heather Dubrow is wealthy, 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 wealthy. Her husband, Terry Dubrow, has a show on the E! Network, Botched. Really good show, by the way. And also, Terry seems like a great person, in my opinion. Just want to throw that in. So Heather, when she was last on the show a few seasons ago, she was talking about building this mega, mega, mega mansion. It's completed now. They opened the season premiere with Heather in her house. We later got a tour of Heather's house. She was showing Gina and Shannon, and totally shady editors were showing Shannon.
Jealous.
with a face of jealousy at every turn. Heather was asked by Andy and Watch What Happens Live if she felt that Shannon really was jealous or resentful. And she said she did not. But I could understand if Shannon was feeling a little
Well,
bit.
compared to Gina, Gina's face was like my face. Gina was like, oh, a gap. Like her face with her mouth was open.
Yeah.
She's like, whoa. It's like when you're like trying to play it cool, but then she like sees a giant chandelier. It's like you're walking into the Beauty and the Beast house. She's like,
Yeah.
whoa. I'm like, yeah, man, whoa.
Yeah,
That's
like let's not
crazy.
try and play it cool in a house like this. Like this, it's a
No.
22,000, I believe it's 22,000 square foot house. It is so fancy. It is beyond. I just watched the goddamn episode of her touring her house, if just for that.
Yeah,
It
it's like over the top in a way. It's like, I should hate her. I should be angry. I should be like, you monster. What, like, how much did you need for this? But I can't because I'm also just like, wow.
And it is done so well.
I know.
And that's what I love because those other houses that some of the housewives own are just like shells of what appears to be a fancy house, you know, the McMansions. This house is legit.
Yeah.
Super excited to finally see this house. I know so is every other viewer. Everyone's going to bring it this season. There's two new housewives, and they're both wealthy. And honestly, I don't really care to even get into who these women are. The point is, the show ended with a cliffhanger. They show the next episode is Heather kicking everyone out of her Nobu sushi luncheon. And we saw a preview of what the whole season's going to bring. And it's just that old-fashioned, amazing drama we've been missing for so long.
I have a quick question for you. Who,
Yeah.
do you think when at the end, when Shannon, like there was like a piece where Shannon had off camera told something to Emily and Gina
Yeah.
about Heather's friends telling them, oh, that girl that Heather's friends with sued her husband years ago, and then was like, don't tell her, don't tell anyone. But it was off camera. Why would she do that? Like, she seemed really actually scared and angry when Gina was like, hey, aren't you gonna tell her? Like, shouldn't you tell Heather? And Shannon's like, I told you don't say anything. I told you promised me. You promised me. I'm like, Shannon, what the fuck? Like, why would you, A, are you stupid? Why would you say something off camera that you thought they weren't gonna tell? And also, like, what are you after? What are you doing?
I don't know. So I'm very curious. Like, what's Sh Shannon just is so dramatic, which is great for the show. She brings drama. I don't know. Honestly, I'm just looking forward to what's to come. And listen, we'll get our answers. We'll get our
We'll get our
answers.
answers. Yes, we will. All right, let's take a little break.
And we'll be back with what do you think?
And we're back. Okay, Molly, real quick, the first thing I want to ask you what you think about is Hulu's Astroworld documentary. Did you see this pop up on Hulu last night?
No, that quickly?
Okay, yes. So Hulu last night dropped this out of nowhere documentary in quotes, I'm putting in quotes, about Astroworld. And it was called a concert, not like Concert from Hell. It was actually like an ABC, a local ABC station in Houston did this in-depth hour-long, more of like a news 2020 style segment, interviewing the victims, like all the footage from the actual concert and interviewing people who were there, interviewing families who lost their children. And I watched it before, like, because I just happened to see it right when it was there. And it was good. Like, it was, I mean, it wasn't, I hesitate to even call it a documentary, but that's what people were calling it. But I'm like, it's not. It's just like it's from ABC. It wasn't produced by Hulu, and it's like an ABC News in-depth story feature, which is
Right.
very normal, like a thing that news people do. So all these people are posting like, how could Hulu come up with a documentary this quickly? Disgusting, like raging. People were so angry, and I'm like, what? So Hulu took it off within hours. It's not there anymore. So
What?
hopefully they put it back out. I don't, and I'm like, for because people, you need to explain to them the like what news, how news works, and like how this,
Right.
you know. But it was good. It was really, really sad.
Yeah, I'm
But
sure.
it was good. Just wanted to get through that quickly. So if you see it, it might come back out. I would, watch it.
Yeah, I will.
What do you think about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial? Have you been watching?
I haven't been watching, but I've been reading up on it. I've been reading about this since it happened. I've been so fascinated with every, like, from when Jeffrey Epstein got arrested and quote unquote committed suicide in jail. And the Ghislaine thing is, I found this article and it was like, how do you pronounce her name? There's like seven different ways to pronounce it. So,
ma'am, who cares? Like, you are a sex trafficker. I don't care. Your name is Goblin Dugugugu, as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah, I know. She doesn't even deserve.
You don't deserve her name to be told. I think it's day three, but yesterday I actually like was reading through the live as it was going.
Oh, cool.
As best as I could. The pilot, like Epstein's pilot, confirmed that Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, Prince Andrew, Chris Tucker, and Kevin Spacey all flew on the plane, which I was just like, "You, what a merry bag of idiots!" Like this, like who? You,
Chris Tucker thrown in there?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm like, off with all of them. But he said like the cockpit door was forced closed so he could, you know, and he was like, so I never saw the sex, but it was a rule that the cockpit had to always be completely closed.
A rule by Jeffrey Epstein?
By Epstein and Ghislaine.
Okay.
And that she, you know, Ghislaine was his partner in crime, my business partner. So then the first victim took the stand. Right. She said that when she was 14, she was at this camp in Michigan, which is a very like prestigious camp. I remember people from my high school who did theater, like at least one of them went to, it's called Interlochen. It's very like hoity-toity. Mm-hmm. And Ghislaine and Epstein somehow like walked upon this camp. Who knows? The seediness of it all is super disgusting. I'm sure, whatever. But they came to the camp and they like found her and they were like, you know, hey, little girl, like we can make you famous. Like, do you want help? Like, we can make you a star. Just come with us. Like, come, we'll give you money. We'll get you, meet you. You can meet all the agents and stuff. And she was like, oh my God, great. 14. So they groomed her. She spent like years getting on the plane, off the plane, whatever. But she was like horrible. Everything that's happened to this girl was horrible. And then the defense attorneys, like when they were interrogating her, cross-examining her, were so, and this, I know this is how a courtroom works. This is how it works. Yeah. And so, you know, fine. But it was really hard. You're not seeing it. You're just reading the transcript because it's a closed trial because it's a federal case. And no, in a federal case, you can never have cameras in the courtroom. It's not like special to this one.
Okay.
But it's like she's sobbing, crying, and they're like, are you think you're just doing this for the money because you're a little actress and like you do soap operas. So what's the difference between when you're soap opera acting and now? You're just being melodramatic, aren't you? Didn't you just want that $5 million? Aren't you just so happy you got that money? And then it happened in 1994 and they're like, oh, really? You can't remember? What, like you changed your story. Like you said it was this day and it was actually this day. You're a big liar. And she's like sobbing up there like, I'm not lying and I don't care about money. Like I'd rather this didn't happen. They're like, oh, really? Okay. Like it was just so – and my impression of the lawyer is like a mean girl from high school. Like, really?
That's what they are.
That's how I was reading it. That's the voice, the terrifying voice I was reading it in. And they have more victims coming. And I just am like, please God, I am a little nervous because the defense is definitely trying to build this case. Like, no, Ghislaine did. Her name is just, it's evil. She sounds like the evil cat from some like 80s cartoon. Ghislaine. But it's, they're trying to paint it like, oh, she didn't know, like, Epstein was also just victimizing her. Like, she didn't do anything. We can't punish her for the things Epstein did. Yes, we can. She's a monster. Women can also be monsters, and she is one. Yeah. She was clearly not, like, an innocent bystander in all of this shit. She loved this shit, and dear God, I hope she gets what she deserves. And also, I want to hear, like, Bill Clinton, you were on this plane. Prince Andrew, you were on this plane. Like, I mean, one of the victim that was there that took the stand yesterday, the 14-year-old, said that she was introduced to Trump when she was 14 because Epstein took her to Mar-a-Lago, but that Trump did not have any, engaged. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's, interesting.
Yeah. It's really scary that these are mega, mega powerful big players in the world. And
yes.
They were all socializing with Jeffrey Epstein And
And Prince Andrew, like, you know, he definitely, I'm waiting because that victim hasn't come yet. And the girl was saying, like, I don't know. Like, she was, and also it's traumatic. I'm sure you blacked out from a lot of, but
Sure.
she said she was riding on the plane with Andrew and Clinton. I'm like, okay, I cannot wait for these victims who come. I want to hear, like, call these them out, you know? And the ones that did do stuff, like, Kevin Spacey is not the company I would want to be in. Like, clearly you're, and like Prince Andrew of all of them, it's like, I know you're guilty. You're so
Yeah.
guilty. It's disgusting. Death to all of them, as Wendy Williams would say. But
So
yeah.
what do you think though? Do you think Elaine's gonna go to prison for life? Like, what do you think the end result is gonna be for her?
God, I don't know. I don't know because like you can never know with juries because it's really the burden is on the prosecution to prove without a reasonable doubt that she was guilty of the sex trafficking. And that's what
Got
she's on
it.
trial for the trafficking of these women. And the women are saying, like yesterday, the woman was saying, like, yes, Ghislaine picks me up. Like, yes, she convinced me. But because her memory was like, she couldn't, the defense's way of being like, because it was so long ago, it's harder to, there's like no real receipts. You know, it's really on, you're relying on the memory of a victim. And that's going to be, I'm just nervous if this jury could, you know, you never know. They'll be like, well, not beyond a reasonable doubt or something. But
Right.
oh, God, I don't know. I'm hoping, I mean, to me, it's so obvious. Like, I'm like, oh, clearly. But
It's
it's like,
so
it's also,
obvious.
yeah. But I'm like, there's other standards in a court of law. And I'm like, please, God, just meet whatever the things are you need to meet to get this woman locked away forever.
She's a monster, and it's a shame that we didn't get to put Jeffrey Epstein on trial.
I
And
know.
I totally joined the conspiracy theorists with the he was killed somehow. Like, there is, because if he had people like Trump, Clinton, Prince Andrew in his company, Bill Gates, I mean, if
No.
he were to expose, or anyone to were to expose anything that occurred with these people, like, I don't know. Like, my head's exploding thinking about us actually finding out anything. Like,
My thing is like he seems like he's such a narcissistic monster that for him, look, who freaking knows? But they were saying like how I feel like he would have assumed he was going to get away with it because he had gotten away with it before. Like it's not the first time he
sure.
had been arrested for this. Like and he had been caught and he got out. So I can't imagine why he wouldn't have why he was suddenly like, no, I'm not going to make it, going to kill myself. Like because he seemed just so. Such an like a narcissist that wouldn't think that. But
Of
who freaking
course.
knows? I mean, it's all possible. It is really unfortunate the that by happenstance, like just a coincidence that all the footage from that night was deleted. Like
Yeah.
none of the, you know, all the security guards were missing. Like it's all those things. I'm like, okay, I guess all those things could have happened. Like what a coinky dink on per, you know, not great, but
Yeah, I don't buy any of it. And they've been trying, Ghislaine's been trying to bail herself out, and they keep denying her bail because they want, which is great, they want her to stay. I mean, she's the key to so many things. I'm sure she's not going to admit to a single thing. But anyways,
I'm surprised she couldn't get like a. They're like, we're gonna give you less time if you sing like a canary, you know. But
no.
also she's like, if I sing like a canary, they're gonna murder me. I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like I,
It's like both ways are bad, so
both
pick.
ways are bad. There was one of the jurors who, like on the first day of trial, had to be dismissed because he was like, oh, my wife suddenly got me a vacation, like surprised me with a vacation in Cancun or something. I was like, you can just do that. He's like.
That's weird.
Right?
That
That's all
is.
very sketchy. And like, I never want to. I'm like, sometimes I feel like I'm one of. I'm like, am I becoming like Joaquin Phoenix in Signs? Like, am I getting like a little tinfoil hat on my head? I'm like, like, who am I? I'm like a QAnoner on there, like, N-n-n-n-n-n-n. But okay, enough about Ghislaine. Let's take a break and we're going to come back with our new segment, Tips of the Week.
Because me and Denise have a lot of strong opinions about things, and these little tidbits
Little
we're going
tidbits.
to feed you, they're good. Be ready.
We'll be back. And we're back. All right, Molly, you go first. What's your tip?
Okay. This doesn't cost money. This is something that is good for your health. And this is something people don't want to do when it's winter and it's cold out. It's called taking a walk. And this might seem like a simple tip, but it's one I really want to stress. And here's why. First of all, I think it's great to start the new year with a fresh start. Everybody wants to diet. Everybody wants to work out, join the gym, spend all that money, and then you waste it because you don't keep going back to the gym. I did this several years ago. I started walking with my dad around the neighborhood when I was living with my parents. And we would walk in the snow. We'd walk in the rain. We'd walk in 20-degree weather. Let me tell you something. The cold air, okay, if you live in somewhere warm, I don't really know what to tell you, but the cold winter air is really refreshing. Taking a walk is so good for you. After several months, I started just jogging. And then I ran a 10K by September. So I'm doing it again this year because, quite frankly, I've lacked exercise and I need to get back into shape. So that is my tip of the week. Get your ass out there and take a walk in the cold winter air.
I like that. I do like that.
Thank you.
I would love to do that, but I live in Los Angeles and the air is never cold enough. Although they told me that it's good. The cold months in LA are going to be March. So March and what? April. So looking forward to that. But that is good advice. My tip of the week was going to be to read this book, but I'm actually reversing. My tip is be very cautious when you're reading online gift guides. Tis the season and they're all up there. And as a person who used to write online gift guides, like for a lot of news outlets and like as a content creator or whatever, 99% of the time, the person writing that piece has never bought the item that they're posting there, has never seen it in real life, doesn't even know anyone that has one. They're basing their entire, all of it really on online reviews of something. So, and like online reviews are even sketchy at best because a lot of like on Amazon, I think they found like 13% of those reviews are fake at least.
Wow.
Some are different. Like I think Oprah's gift guide, I'm assuming Oprah probably has touched these things and like has used them and knows that they're great, but who even knows? Who even knows how much like maybe that's product placement, like getting them to be like, hey, here's a free product. Will you put this on your gift guide? And a lot of the time, unfortunately, and I don't want to lambast like all of them. I'm sure there's some outlets out there that the writer has all of this time and they're really given the time needed to really curate something that is like thought out and thoughtful, and the gifts are not dumb and cheap or whatever.
Right.
But most of the time you're right. You have to write them in like an hour. You have a day. If that a day would be a luxury. And it's like regurgitating the same shit from other people have already shared.
Yeah. You're looking up like other lists of what people are recommending. Then you just like pull from it.
Exactly.
Wow. What a shame.
It's a shame. And it's not like the fault of the writers or like it's just like, you're not given time. There's like no, it's an easy content that they just like spurt out there because people are looking it up. People are like trying to find this stuff. So it's, you know, you get a lot of traffic, it gets clicks, and that's really all.
That's all that matters, right?
That's all that
like
matters.
Nothing's legit anymore. I've noticed that when I look at certain people's gift lists, you know, recommendations, I'm like, this seems really phony.
Really phony. It's like, who needs that many whiskey ice cubes? Like, that seems a little weird. So yeah, that's just my tip. Like, I know it's hard and it's easy. You want to look at, you know, it's hard to come up with gift ideas. There are so many good Reddit threads that you can find from like people who, there's like any kind of subreddit community for things that people are recommending, like life pro tips, like real people being like, I got this, like I bought this thing and I loved this because of this. And it's like, you can ask, what should I buy my husband who is really into Star Wars? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just my tip. If you have the time, just avoid those things.
That's a good one. I think that's very useful. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with another dose of gossip that's good for you.